is Nick. I'm the pastor here at Huntersville Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by what you hear today as we as a body partake in the ordinary means of grace. If you have questions about what you hear, you may also contact us. We would love to answer those for you. And we hope that one day we might have the blessing of having your presence with us. Thanks for joining us.
Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is.
You may be seated. As you are, turn to Matthew chapter 13 or page 6 in your bulletin. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depths of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked them out. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their eyes they can barely, with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, and yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another case 60, and in another 30. All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable, This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. The word of God for the people of God. You remember your first time flying? Not for the pilots that are here, but the rest of us. You remember the first time you got on that plane and maybe you were a little nervous. You sat enthralled, listening as the announcements came on, and then the flight attendant showed you all of the instructions. You listened to them. You watched how they click it in. You pull it tight, and you see the oxygen mask. If you've flown more than once, what do you do now? You ignore it. They're just words that float around the cabin. You don't even think about them. They are noise, and you are occupied with something else. That's what we do. We have this amazing ability to have someone talk to us, to set words before us, and to tune them out for the sake of noises going on around us. If you have children, if you have a spouse, you know what this is like. That sometimes the words are there, and there's no excuse for not hearing them. They just bounce everywhere. So you have this thing. When you don't have that sense of danger flying, and because those words are old hat, you don't really listen. This is what's happening with Jesus. This is what's happening with this one who is the Messiah. These teachers, these religious leaders, and the people that they have led, they have had all his words even before he came. He had spoken to them in the Old Testament. The words of the prophets were there, and they were all saying, this is the Savior, the fulfillment of all the promises of God. And those words were there, and they didn't listen to them. It was old hat to them. They were willing to let them just bounce around beside them. As we saw last week, they sort of said to Jesus about them, that's it? That's what you have come to do? You're the Messiah? That's it? Give us another sign. And so they're saying that about this revelation of Jesus as the fulfillment of God's promises. They've been letting his word float around. They had the law and the prophets and the Psalms, and yet they didn't hear them. They were just background noise to the ideas that they wanted to play out, to the ideas that they had about God's kingdom, because they had expected his kingdom to be so much different. In their minds, it had played out as him coming in and delivering them from Roman oppression. When that didn't happen, they said, that can't be it then, because this is what we thought, and we can't be wrong, obviously. And so they asked for a sign, and Jesus continues to underwhelm them by not letting them set his agenda. And so he's in that house. What does he do? He steps outside, and they think, okay, maybe he's going to do a sign now. Even though he told us the sign of Jonah was all that it is. And he begins to teach, and he does so in a different way that he hasn't done up to this point. He begins now only speaking in parables before them. And he's moved from clarity so that all would hear now to these parables. And in so doing, he teaches us the importance of how we hear the word. That's what we're looking at this morning, the importance of how we hear the word. We're going to look at it in 2 points. We're going to see it firstly in this point, the blessing and the danger of having ears. The blessings and the danger of having ears. That's that middle section where it talks about the disciples coming, and he says, to you it has been given. You know, verse 10 through 17. The blessing and the danger of having ears. And then secondly, the call to use our ears. That's that parable He's telling us that we are to listen. So what's the blessing in the danger? Well, here's the blessing. The disciples come and they say, "We don't get it, Jesus. What? Why are you talking to them in parables now?" And Jesus says what? "To you it has been given." He makes a distinction between you, the disciples, and them, those who would not be hearing, those who would not be receiving, those who would not listen. He makes this distinction. And they want to know why this shift. And Jesus says, "I am making this distinction because, well, part of it lies in the word itself, disciples." His disciples came to him. What does the word disciple mean? What does it mean to be a disciple? It's one who learns. It's one who receives. It's one who sits and listens attentively, who doesn't just make Jesus' words background noise or make religious things a background noise that they add on to their life. They just show up because they just show up. No, they listen attentively. And Jesus is making this distinction because his disciples are those who come, who hear, who listen, not just at words out there, but they take them. They bring them in. They reflect on them. Those who listen with intent to follow and to practice. And he says to them, what does he say? Well, to the one who has, the one who has my word, who hears it, who knows what it's for, he will have an abundance. That's the blessing. He will give you more. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. That's the blessing. Is as you listen to Christ, if you come to him, you draw near to him in his word, you see him there. The blessing is this: you will see it more and more and more clearly. And that's things that prophets wanted to see and didn't get the chance. But here's the danger. What is the danger? The one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Those who listen with intent to understand will be given more understanding. Those who come and they are not attentive upon it, they're really just there out of habit or out of custom, or they are there with their own presuppositions. Rather than wanting to receive, they're there to, well, maybe even argue with what they hear. Those people, these words are not for them. They will even be taken away from them, and there is no blessing for them. The only other option is to either, there are two options: listen to Christ intently, seeking to understand, wanting to draw near, or to be like those who want to be near the kingdom. They like the idea of it. They like the idea of a Savior. They like the idea of religion and Christianity and those things. But they want it to be how they imagined. They want to shape God's kingdom. And they want his kingdom to be limited to their imagination and their wrong understanding. Rather than being shaped by the word that they had, they wanted to shape the word to fit their desire. That's it. Those are the options. There's a danger to it and a blessing in it. But the danger is becoming like those poor hearers. Jesus brings in Isaiah, doesn't he? He says that they will hear and they will see, but they won't understand. They won't perceive. Their heart has grown dull. Their ears, they can barely hear. Their eyes, they have closed. Jesus is right there before them. He's right here before you. You stand and you come and he's offered to you in the word. He's right there. And yet they didn't see him. It's like the husband opening the refrigerator, looking for the mayonnaise. Right? It's right there. And he swears that it's not. He says, "It's not in there. I think we're out. We don't have it." And what happens? It's right there. the whole time. So it is with Christ. They have eyes, but they're not seeing. They have eyes, but they're not seeing. They have ears, but they're not hearing. Just like we tune out the flight attendant. Just like we tune out so many things. They don't see and they don't hear. And Jesus says, their heart has grown, and we translate it dull, but it's really a word that means calloused. How do you form calluses? Back before I read books for a living, I used to have calluses. And calluses form after a while, right? After you have been doing something repetitively, and after a while you'll notice that the sharpness isn't there anymore. There isn't the pain there anymore because it's grown thick. And Jesus says, if you come and you are hearing words, but you are not listening to them, and you are not letting them affect you so that you go out changed by them, you are dulling the pain because your heart is becoming calloused. That's the danger. The blessing is if you come wanting to understand, He gives you more understanding. The danger is if you come and you're just not listening, you're not paying attention, the words are here, you're here, but they're echoing everywhere else, you are building up an immunity, a callus against the sharpness, the reality, the crispness of His Word and of His kingdom. His teaching doesn't come in as sharp and as clear as it should. Do you understand the danger you are in this morning by being in church? Do you understand the danger you are in every time you open up God's Word in your own time of devotion? And do you understand the danger that you are in? Because the greatest danger is not some physical threat. It's not your job. It's not your spouse's driving. The greatest danger that you face is coming into this place and becoming callous to Christ and to His kingdom. The greatest danger is that you will be here and these words will surround you and you will hear them said near you, and they will bounce off of these walls, and you will become so familiar with them, and they are so familiar to you that you can recite them without having any paper in front of you. Time for the Apostles' Creed, you just say it. Time for the Lord's Prayer, you just say it, and they are just words to you. That is when you are in danger. Do you understand the danger that Jesus is pointing out to all who will not receive His kingdom as it is revealed in Him? For all that is said here, the great danger is that you go away and you have not heard. Yes, you heard the noise of words, but you did not listen or hear the words. You're always in danger of building up that callus so that your eyes don't perceive. It's starting to grow dim. You don't see the beauty and the glory of the gospel anymore. The songs are old hat to you now. Your ears are growing thick so that at the name of Jesus, your heart doesn't swell with joy as it once did. No, it's just sort of something there. There's a danger and a blessing to hearing His word. And so what does Jesus do? He calls us to hear, to listen to his voice. He calls us to use our ears. The religious leaders of the day were doing everything but listening. His voice is in all of Scripture, and all of it is pointing to him. And they were saying, as he stood in front of them, Matthew points it out, this was to fulfill what the prophet said. This is to fulfill. This is it. He's right there, clear in front of their eyes. And they said, I don't see it. And yet he's guiding us by his voice, and we are to hear and to listen and to obey. Isn't that what verse 9 says? Now, our translation does an injustice here, but there's no really clean way to say it. We usually say something like this: he who has ears to hear, let him hear. It says, he who has ears, let him hear. But that's not the force of it. Jesus is wanting this to come home to you today, that you will listen, that you will hear. It's not a let him hear. No, it's a command. Something along these lines. The one having ears, hear. The one having ears, listen. The one having ears, pay attention. There's emphasis put on this so that this is not something that is passive. It's not something that you're permissive about. No, he's telling you to be actively listening to his words, to what it is he has to say. He's going to say it again when he goes to explain it in verse 18. Hear then the parable. It's a command for you and me. So what are we to hear in this parable? Well, you know this parable, don't you? The seed is sown. There's no problem in the seed. The seed's good seed. The seed is the word of God as it goes forward. There is absolutely nothing wrong with the seed. The problem is in the soil. That's what Jesus sets out, doesn't he? And the soil does what? It represents the heart. What's the problem of the heart? Well, the problem of the heart is that it's grown calloused. Is that it's possibly gone callous. It's like unprepared soil. And Jesus gives those four types, doesn't he? He speaks first of the path. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. What is that, Jesus? When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. That is what's sown along the path. Again, do you understand the danger you are in this morning by being here under the sound of these words? Do you understand the danger? What Jesus has just said to you is that Satan is active here this morning. The demons are active here so that if you come and you are not listening, you are not intending to understand in order to put into practice, Satan is actively trying to snatch away that seed. He never misses a Sunday. He doesn't miss a Wednesday evening because his work is to take away that seed from those who have no desire to understand. It's the person who doesn't perceive Christ, as Jesus is teaching, is not perceiving Christ. He doesn't come with the intent to listen. One man said it's more than a mere outward hearing. The word points to a certain repetitiveness. No, this person is not hostile to the message. The hearer knows that there is some spiritual truth here intended for his prophet, but since he doesn't act on it, he soon finds that what he heard is lost. What about you? As you're here, as the seed is sown, do you intend to do something with it? Or are you just going to let it lie there? because it's never left to nothing. It's either put to use or it's snatched away. That's not the only danger, is it? No, we're to be listening as those who are not pathway hearers, those who are not intent in actually doing anything with this. You're just here because you're here. There's nothing objectionable to being here. It's what you've always done, that sort of thing. There's also these rocky ground hearers, isn't there? Isn't that what he says? Other seed fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Well, what are they, Jesus? As for what is sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Who's the rocky soil hearer? He's the one who's not prepared. And the seed falls, and there it is. It's maybe been dug a little, but not much work has been done to it. Because I don't know if you've ever plowed up a garden or anything like that, but your soil grows rocks over the winter. Rocks that you got out the year before, They're new ones. They get pushed up with the cold. Well, here's the rocky soil hearer. It's the one who comes wanting to hear something new. Something that's a doctrine that might spark interest. Something that, well, they haven't really heard this before, and it sticks with them and they get excited about it, and yet they haven't listened in order to have that word penetrate deep into them and change them into the likeness of Christ. No, they've listened to it just in order to have something, not in order to know Christ better. Have some new thing, some new excitement. Jesus says there's no root in that. That soil hasn't been worked over enough. Those roots don't go down deep. They're resting on a rock, and that sun comes out and they wither quickly. And then the thorny ground here. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. What is that, Jesus? As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. This is the same word that Jesus uses of Martha. You know, she's there busy serving. She is worried about what's happening. And Jesus says, Martha, you are careful about much. Now, I think Martha in that moment missed an opportunity. I do think she's a believer. But it's that sort of word. Every other thing out there is pressing in and chokes out the word. It's the person who comes to church. They hear the word, and they might even on the way out say, "Fine sermon, preacher." Walk out the door and they get in the car and everything is gone because what's next comes to them. Tomorrow is on their minds. Their bills are on their minds. They do not take time to reflect, and it chokes out any fruit that might be born by the seed. Thorny ground. We live in a thorny world, don't we? A world that wants to choke out the word at every point. Every distraction available is out there for you. So that often we don't reflect, we don't meditate, we don't think, we don't do much beyond one little lap. One little lap to church and back home, and there's the world pressing in. And then Jesus says there's also a good soil hearer. This is what he wants us to be. Other seed fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. What is that, Jesus? As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. What's he after here? This is not just that he cognitively gets it. No, we've already said the blessing of hearing is that if you come with the intent to understand, he will give you more. This is the person who wants to come in order that he might know Christ better, that she might love and serve the Lord more fully. This is the person who is the good soil hearer. They listen to understand for knowing Jesus more. And they want insight into who is this one who redeems. And here's the great danger I've been trying to tell you about, is that at any given moment, when you are exposed to the word, you can be any one of these four. You sat down with your Bible in the morning and planned on reading it and poring over it and really studying to know the Lord, and you read at it, but you don't really read it. You know what I mean? Your eyes touch every word, but you don't really read it. Check that box off. That's what matters, but that's not what matters. Or you read it and you get excited about something, and yet in your excitement you haven't really sought to apply it how you might know and love Christ more, and then by the heat of the day it's gone. Or you read it and you think, I need to think about that all day. And 9 o'clock comes and you punch the card and you get in and it's gone. It's choked out by everything else. Instead of simmering, bubbling, thinking, meditating, contemplating it as you can when you can, you let it go. You can be any one of these four at any moment. So how do we become, habitual good soil hearers? This is Larger Catechism 160. What is required of them that hear the word preached? But take it to be read as well. Of him, them that hear the word preached, it is required. There's 13 things here, so don't try to write them down. Just look it up. It is required of those that hear the word preached, one, that they attend upon it with diligence. You go with the intent to understand, the intent to be changed by it, the intent to listen and not be distracted or a distraction to others, with preparation. Are you prepared for worship? Some of us have it as an afterthought. Alarm goes off at 9 on Sunday. If you're here for Sunday school, it goes off at 7. But if you're just here for worship, goes off at 9 on Sunday, and you think, no, why did I have that alarm set? Oh, church, today's Sunday. It's an afterthought. Preparation is living Lord's Day to Lord's Day, understanding that what I need is what's coming up this next Lord's Day, being ready for it, and prayer. Do you pray before you come on Sundays or before you read the scripture? Lord, help me to know. Help me to understand. Help me to see you. Help me to have what is your portion for me from this word. Diligence, preparation, prayer. They examine what they hear by the scriptures. Are you a Berean? Do you go home after hearing a sermon, after hearing the word, and reflect on it and think about it and make sure that I didn't say something batty? Do you apply other times things that you've heard to what you're hearing now? Is it in line? Is it in accordance with the word? Receive the truth with faith. What the word comes to you, do you believe it? Receive the word with love. This is God's word to me, that he reveals himself that I might know him. Do you receive it with meekness, or do you bristle at it? Receive it with meekness, with readiness of mind. You are not just having the words bounce around. You go, okay, this is it. I understand that as I read this, as I think about this, as I pray through this, Satan is at the ready to snatch away anything that comes before me. I am ready to not have that happen. With readiness of mind, do you receive it as the word of God? And then meditate on it and confer on it. Confer means talk about it. But this is from 1600, so confer on it. Do you talk with friends, loved ones, about what you've read, about what it is you are seeing or being taught? Do you think on the word regularly? And then hide it in your hearts. Do you hide his word in your heart? And then it says, bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. My question for you is, have you come to hear this morning? Those Pharisees and scribes, they had eyes and they had ears, and yet they had calluses that had grown up over them, calluses that had affected their heart, and they were blind and deaf to Jesus, who he is, as the fulfillment of all of God's promises. It was as if they opened the fridge and there's the mayo. And they didn't see it. They heard the testimony of the prophets, and yet they never heard a word from them. They had tuned it out. That's the great danger for us today, is that we won't see the beauty and glory of Christ. We will just hear these words, and they might be a little sharp, but that's okay. The next time they won't be as sharp, and that callus might grow a little thicker. That's our danger this morning. Pray against it, that you might look to Christ and see him as the fulfillment of all the hopes and promises that are given to us in Scripture, of all that is set out, that he would be the Savior. That was the picture that they missed. It's what we saw last week. He's bringing justice and light to the Gentiles. Pray against callousness, that you might be able to see that light. Let's pray.